Okay, we're continuing in the Drush HaSaran. We're in the Drush HaShneimasar in the Mosadar of Cooks, on page Tuf Ayin Tes. So last time we talked about the Isser of being involved in magic or superstitions or believing in omens and things like that. So that's mostly what we're going to talk about today is the Isser of Nichush, and that is believing in omens or superstitions. So we're going to start a little bit from what we started last week. We're on page Tuf Ayin Tes, just the last part, Menachish. The Isser of Nichush, what's that? Amar Sham, the Gemara says, Zeha Omer, that's someone who says, Pito Nafla Mipiv, this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, someone who, if they're eating bread and the bread falls out of their mouth, so bread is usually a symbol of parnasa, of money, of your sustenance. So if a person drops their bread, they take that as a bad omen that their parnasa is going to go bad. Or Makelo Naflo Miyado, he dropped a stick, beat Beno Kori Meacharav, or his son is calling him from behind him. Oriv Karivlo, a raven calls him. Tzvi Hivsiko Baderech, a deer walks in front of him, stops his path. These are bad omens. Like we said last time, the equivalent of a black cat crossed your path. You walk under a ladder. Bad luck, bad omen. So it's the same thing. That's what the Isser Nichush is. Nachash miyamino, shuol mismolo, snakes on my right, foxes on my left. Or he said, if he takes those all as bad signs, al taskel be. Or if he says, when the people come to collect money, he says, oh, don't start with me. Or shachrasu, it's the morning, Rosh Chodesh, it's the beginning of the month, Motzei Shabbosu, it's the beginning of the week. The person thinks it's a bad omen for them to collect money from him at the beginning of the week or the month or whatever, because it'll be a bad omen for the rest of the week or month. All that is being concerned with omens, and that's an Isser Daraisa of Nichush. Not allowed to believe in superstitions or omens or things like that. Fine. Now ask the Ran. V'im Tiksha. And this is a very, very, very important Ran. A halachic clarification of when the Isser of Nichush applies and when it does not. Okay, so V'im Tiksha, if you will ask, Achar she'asru kolelu ha'simanim v'amra shu b'chlal menachesh, which we just listed all these things. If a person doesn't make an investment because the bread dropped out of his mouth, or he thinks it's bad that a deer walked in front of him, or a black cat, whatever, it doesn't matter. Since all those things are called Nichush, Echam Reperkin Anasha, how did the Gemara say in Perkin Anasha, this is in Chulin Daf Tzadi Hamabes, how did the Gemara say, Rav Badik B'mabra, that Rav used to check boats? What does that mean? Rav used to check when he would get to the pier, if he had to go somewhere, he would get to the port, the pier, whatever, if the boat would come right as he got there without him ordering a boat, he would say, Yom Tov Lagav. It means something's good going to happen to him that day. It was a good sign. And he used to check, based on whether that happened or not, whether he was going to have a good day or whether things were going to go well. So ask the Ran, Ma bein mabra l'tzvi siko baderech. How is that different than if a deer crossed your path thinking that that's bad luck? So then how's that different than Rav checking whether the boat showed up when he got to the pier? It seems the same thing, relying on an omen. So that should have been usher. So why is that? Why was Rav allowed to do that? Shuvaska, the answer is Rav, Afa Pisha, Yabodik Bamabra, Rav, even though he used to check to see whether the boat came or not, to see whether he would have a good day or not. The main thing is he was not relying on that in any real way. Shiyasa Maisa Piharasa Badika. He would never change his plans based on that. He didn't do anything based on whether the boat showed up as soon as he got there or not, or before he ordered it. He just wanted to see a little bit, if it was kind of a little bit of a sign, whether he would have a good day or not, or things would go well. And even if it came out that he wouldn't be matzliach, like the boat didn't come when he got there, because he wouldn't change his plans. Because he knew Hashem is Baruch Mashana Kol Kiratzono Hashem, because he knew Hashem is the one who controls everything, and Hashem can change and make whatever he wants. Nichush, says the Ran, this is the very important line. The Ran is saying, Nichush is only forbidden when you're relying on it. Believing in omens is only a problem when you are relying on it, when you're making decisions based on it. But just to see, oh, this doesn't look too good, that's okay. But to change your plans because of it, that's when you did the Isser of Nichush. That's what the Ran says. V'zem avur Hashem. And this is clear over there in the Gemara. Ruth, the Gemara says there, Vafilo hachi Rav lo achal me'ahu bisra. So there was some meat involved in that story there, and Rav didn't eat that meat. So the Gemara wonders, why didn't he eat the meat? My time, why didn't he eat the meat? Ilume yene. Is it because he hadn't kept watch over the meat, and it's a problem of Basar Shin Asalim and Ayin? That's an issue if there's meat that you took your eyes off of. So if it's certainly if it's outdoors, or if it's a place where an animal could get to it, you're not allowed to eat it if you didn't keep your eye on it. And if it's not in a place where there are eyes, but if there's a place where someone might have taken it, animals rather, but if it's in a place where someone might have taken it, it's not quite the Isser Basar Shin Asalim and Ayin, it's another thing called Chashad. But whatever, for the purposes of us, if he had, the Gemara says, maybe he didn't eat it because he hadn't kept watch over that meat, and maybe it wasn't, he couldn't eat it because of that. The Gemara says, no, Halo Alam, he didn't take his eyes off it. Okay, so what was the problem? Elam Yishum Denachish. Maybe the Gemara says, maybe the reason he didn't eat it is because he relied on superstitions. He was checking the boat to see whether it came in or not. And because of that, he didn't eat the meat. What, again, in that Gemara, what one has to do with the other is not maybe super clear. But whatever, that's the Gemara saying. Maybe he didn't eat the meat because he did superstitions by checking the boat. The Gemara says, no. Checking the boats is not an Isser of Nichash. Checking whether the boat came on time was not an Isser of Nichash. Why? It says, Va'amar Rav, Rav said himself, Kal Nachash Einu Keliezer Eved Avram V'ki Yehonos Ben Shol Einu Nachash. Any believing in superstitions or omens that is not like Eliezer of Avram and Yehonos Ben Shol. Any believing in stuff like this, an omen that isn't similar to Eliezer Eved Avram and Yehonos Ben Shol is not the Isser of Nichash. What does that mean? First of all, just to explain what that was, Eliezer, the story of Eliezer Eved Avram is when he made that request from Hashem, or when he was davening for Hashem that he should find the right wife for Yitzchak, he said, when I see the lady comes out to me and she draws water for me, I'll know that that's the one for Yitzchak. Right, so he was relying on an omen. He didn't even check into her background. He just, as soon as he saw a lady who did what he said was the test, he married her. So it seems like he was relying on an omen, because maybe she wouldn't be from the right family. Who knows? He just said, if I see that she draws water and gives food to my camels, I'm going to trust her. Trust that that's the right one and marry her off to Yitzchak. And the story with Yehonasan ben Shol was when they were going to attack. So Yehonasan said he had a idea. If the enemy says to us, Yehonasan said, you guys stay there, we're coming to attack you. Then Yehonasan said, then we're going to lose, we should get out of here. If they say, come and get us, then Yehonasan said, then we're going to win, then we should attack. Also sounds like he was relying on an omen. That's what the Gemara says is Nichush. And therefore, anyone who's not doing what they did is not Nichush. So the Ran explains, Kolomer. What the Gemara means by this is any believing in omens that you're not relying on, like Eliezer Eved Avram did. Because Eliezer said, whichever lady draws water for me and my camels, I'm going to marry her. So he relied on the omen 100%. Remember, Rashi tells us he didn't even ask who she was related to. That's all Avram said. Don't take a wife from the Canaanites, right? Eliezer didn't ask. He totally relied on this omen. So he relied on an omen. He did an action based on the omen. Uki Yehonasan ben Shaul, like Yehonasan ben Shaul, Shamar Vayom Yomro Alinu Alov Alinu. Again, Yehonasan said, if they say, come get us, we should go get them. That means we're going to win. So if you're not, and so he also did an action based on an omen. So both of those, if you're not doing it like them who relied completely on their omen, then it's Eino Nachash, then it's not an Isser. The Rav, and Rav, Lo Samachalav, Rav wasn't relying on this omen. He wasn't making any decisions or changing any actions based on it. Elisha Amrar, Umabra Asala Pe, Yomatov Lagav. All he would say is, if the boat came to me, something good's going to happen. The Gemara doesn't say that he would say, if the boat comes to me, then I'll go on my trip. If not, not. He never made any changes in decision based on this. It was just something he noted, but he never made any decisions based on it. That's the difference. The Isser of Nichash is only when you do an action based on this omen. Okay, so listening to this, if you've never heard that Gemara, you may be wondering what the Ran is about to ask. We just said, if you're going to ask, if so, if the way the Gemara sounds, sounds like we're saying Eliezer Eben Avraham and Yehonasan Ben Shaul were the perfect examples of people who did Nachash. That means they did an Isser Daraisa of Nachash. You want to say Eliezer was before Matan Torah, Yehonasan wasn't. So you're saying big tzaddikim, like he said, Eich Nomer Bela Tzaddikim Kacha. How could you say this about tzaddikim? Yehonasan Ben Shaul did Nichush. It's an Isser Daraisa. How could we, the Gemara, be suggesting that Yehonasan Ben Shaul did an Isser Daraisa? Certainly don't find anywhere in the Navi his saying that he did anything wrong. And the Gemara here seems to be saying that those are the examples of Nachash. And if you're not doing Nichush like them, relying on omens like them, it's mutter. They are the examples of what you can't do. So how could that be that Eliezer, Eved Avram, and Yonatan Ben Shaul sinned like that? Ve'atshuva. This is, if you learn that, so you'll see this is a big machuk, because we've shown him how to understand this Gemara. But this is the Ron's answer. Va'atshuva, the answer is, Ki lo ne'esar ha'nachash ela b'mash ein ha'seichel mora alav. Okay, so first he clarified that the only time there's a problem of relying on omens is if you actually 100% rely on them. You actually make decisions based on them, change your actions. Now we have a second qualification. The only time there's an iser of nichush is something that makes no sense. Aval masha ha'seichel mora alav, but if it makes sense, ein ze'nachash, that's not relying on omens. As being smart, kimin hagel shalolamu. That's the way the world is. Vein bein zeh bein omer im yam tir macher nizra klum. There's no difference between relying on a smart omen, meaning one that makes sense, as to say, if it rains tomorrow, I'll plant. Okay, well, that's not relying on omens. If it rains tomorrow, that's the time to plant, right? I mean, if you say, if this happens, then I will do the following action. It's not relying on an omen if it's something that makes sense. If you say, if a black cat crosses my path, then I will not invest in this stock, that's relying on omens. If you say, if the Dow goes down, I will not invest in this stock, well, that makes sense, maybe, because if the stock market goes down, maybe probably that stock will probably also go down, whatever. That's not called relying on omens if it makes sense. Umasha taluboma sayim elu ashniim. And that which the Gemara talks about, the actions of these, Eliezer and Avram and Yonatan and Shaul, Kvar Ho Elav HaSeichel, that was the type of omen that makes sense. Eliezer and Avram, Shayu Yodea, Ki Kol Maisi Ben Adon of Hayim Bushkachim. This is an important thing that the Ran puts in. Eliezer and Avram knew that anything that happens to Avram Avinu is with super Hashkacha Pratis. U Befrat Ta'isha Ashiti Pola Garalo. Certainly the woman who's going to marry Yitzchak. Eliezer Eved Avram was well aware of how important Avram Avinu was to creation, to God. The whole Klal Yisrael was going to come out of this woman that he was going to find for Yitzchak. Nothing was going to go wrong. You can bet that there would be super hashgacha pratis in this story. Eliezer Eved Avram knew that. So therefore, Gazer v'amer ki aisha asher tia shlema yoser mi'amidos. So Eliezer just said, okay, all I got to find is a lady who seems to have midos. I'm sure who crosses my path, she's going to be the right one. How am I going to know if she's got good midos? If I see a young lady, it's a young girl, she goes out to draw water. She doesn't sit around in the house. She works hard. Vim calls that, and still, Yigbar Aleha Shlemus Midos, and still her Midos will be so fine, Achelo Tachas Al Kal Amla, that she won't even care about all this hard work, all her hard work. About Yikal Beina Lahetil Shaina Makaris. Not only is she a girl who obviously is put to work, but when she sees that I need something, she'll run to do it for me, despite all the work she obviously has to do. She's going to run and give me water, draw for me, draw for my camels. Zeb Emis Mora Tachlis Shlemus Midoseha. This shows tremendous perfection in Midos. So that's a lady that makes sense that she should marry a tzaddik. In other words, this was not some weird omen that made no sense. This made perfect sense. That's the kind of person you want to have. So it wasn't really a full omen. It was partially an omen in the sense that he didn't know that she was related to the right people. But I think that's what the Ran means to add. That Eliezer Eved Avram, in the case of marrying off the future, getting the right mother for Klal Yisrael, knew that the whole thing would definitely be with Hashgacha Pratis, and he could have taken that ring and threw it up into the sky and some lady catch it, that'd be the right one. But he didn't do that. He knew whoever, that Hashem would help him find the right person, but the test he had was, let me find someone who has fine midos. And when she did the test that he put, so that wasn't really relying on an omen, that made perfect sense. It wasn't like saying if a black cat crossed my path. It made perfect sense. If a nice lady crosses my path, a lady with super midos, okay, she should be the one who marries Yitzchak. This wasn't superstition. This was something that made a lot of sense. So this also the story with Yonason also wasn't nonsense. It made sense. He wanted to do something. Remember Yonason that was never had been tried. He was going to war, him and his couple people with a huge force, opposing force. The gam lavor b'makom tzarish or hoya roish lo yimlatum menu elef alafim is also very difficult to pass there. K'moshe heyed abeinam abros, hashen echan mitzok. The pasuk talks there about how difficult it was to cross that terrain. K'moshe niglam me'ali yoso shutzrech lalos ayodav araglav. It tells how he had to climb up there. K'moshe amra kasev ayal yonatan ayodav araglav. He had to climb on his hands and knees. So when Yonason was going to do this courageous act of fighting an enemy foe with very small forces, he wanted to know if the people he were fighting were cowards or were brave. Because if he finds out that they are brave people, he's not going to do this very risky attack. If he sees that they're afraid, then he's not. If he sees that they are cowardly people, he's not going to be so afraid to go attack them. And now we're going to get into a little bit of, I guess, maybe medieval science or the way they viewed things then. I don't know if science today would agree with this, but now the Ran is going to explain how you know who's going to be afraid or brave. The nature of being a coward or brave are opposites. The feeling of fear comes from a spirit of going from out to inside, like from outside your body to inside your body. And bravery is going from the inside of your body out, just to give it, I guess, the way I understand it. If you imagine someone who's frightened, so they lose the color in their face, they're as if their blood is running inside, running away, and their hands are cold. Whereas people who are brave, they're, you know, who are ready to attack, their blood rushes to their face, and you know, it's ready to, they're warm. It's as if the blood is rushing out. It's something like that, as you'll see his explanation, that when someone's afraid, it's as if things are running inside. When there's someone's not afraid, it's as if everything's running out. Pachad comes from cold blood, a thin, dark, colder blood. And because it's so cold and fine, not thick, so it's easier for it to run. It's hard for it to run out. It's easier for it to go from out to in. So this person with that type of blood will be a coward. Easier. Someone who's brave, so they have comes from a thicker type blood that's warm. And since it's so warm, so for that type of blood, it's easier for it to go inside out. So someone with that kind of blood is more likely to be a brave person, and that person will never feel fear or sadness. Because brave people, they're not afraid and they don't get sad. Because sadness, who is kaim turas hahezek b'dimyon. That's when a person thinks about the destruction that's going to happen to them or already happened to them. People who are strong and powerful and brave, they're not sad. Ki la flogas tenuasa minakama la kalusa, since it's so easy and natural for them to take vengeance and destroy anyone who tries to hurt them, yid malahem kilu kvar nasis. It's as if they don't even dwell upon the evil that came upon them, because they already feel uliskayim adiminahu tusar tzuras hamazik meadimin. They view their vengeance as if it was already happened, so they're not sad anymore because it's so easy for them to take vengeance. And for that reason, so they don't think about the bad that happened to them as much. V'humash amra Torah, this is what the Torah says. Losekal al cheresh, do not curse a deaf man. Feina kavana b'cheresh levad, the Torah doesn't mean only deaf people. Shari amru minayin l'rabbas kol adam, because the Gemara says, how do you know you're not allowed to curse anybody? Again, this is b'shem Hashem. Talmud lomer ba'am chalosar, you can't curse anybody, anyone in the nation. Al malak havana b'zeh, but what the Torah meant was, ki ha'nefesh b'hisno owa linkom mehamazik. Again, this is just on the theme he just said about this being afraid or not afraid. So when the when a person comes to take vengeance from someone who did them wrong, the fitzuras hahezek hakayem is bedimyon. Someone comes to take vengeance based on what they believe happened to them. Hinei lo tasser mihios misno es ad shetigmo lemazik fitzurak hahezek harishuma bedinyon. So the person, when they want to take vengeance from the person who harmed them, they're going to do it in a way that fits the crime. And the person's not going to feel calm until they feel they meted out what the other person deserves to the other person. Sometimes, if the guy just made you hurt you a little bit, you'll feel better if you curse the guy out, and that's enough for you. Sometimes it's enough just to curse the guy, and then you feel that the damage that guy received by your cursing makes you feel better, and that's enough for you sometimes. And sometimes if something horrible was done to you, sometimes it's not going to be enough for you until you kill the guy, if he did something, I don't know, killed someone of yours or whatever. That's the far end. So those are the two extremes. You could either want to take vengeance that you kill the guy, or want to take vengeance only enough that you just curse the guy out. Sometimes if you're not so upset, it's enough just to yell and scream at the guy. So you might have thought that the Torah only answered cursing another Jew, so since the Torah doesn't want you to take vengeance, it doesn't want you to scream at this guy, so maybe it's only when the guy hears you, because if the guy knows about hears you cursing him, so then he's going to get pained, and maybe that's the only time the Torah forbade it. Maybe you would think if you cursed a deaf guy, it would be allowed. That's why, you know, she's trying to explain why the Torah, if you're not allowed to curse anybody, why the Torah specifically say don't curse deaf people. It's letting you know, you might have thought you could curse a deaf person because they don't know the difference, so they don't get any pain from it. So the Torah is telling you, it's not that the Torah just cared about that the person who would be cursed would feel bad. We don't want you to say it, even if nothing happens to the guy. He doesn't know you said it, we still don't want you to say it. Because the Torah doesn't want you to take vengeance. It doesn't want you to think that way. And this way, if you control yourself from not cursing the guy and just controlling yourself, you'll come to not be such an angry guy, and that's better for your midos. Getting back to the thing he was saying a minute ago, that this is, anyway, people who are strong and brave, so this is natural to them to want to take vengeance. So anyway, Yehonasan wanted to check if these people were going to attack were brave or not. So when Yonasan did this check, and the people he was going to attack said, come get us, that means they were afraid, they weren't confident, and then Yonasan knew he would win. So again, it wasn't just an omen that was like a black cat crossing your path. It was real strategy. It was seeing, if this happens, it makes sense for me to attack. So therefore, this is not the Isser, what Yonasan did, or Eliezer, was not Nachash. Because this is something that was logical, it makes sense, and then it's not superstition, or relying on omens. So if they didn't do the Isser of Nichush, so what did the Gemara mean when it said any relying on omens that's not like Eliezer and Yehonasan is not Nichush? Hakavana bezeh, the Gemara meant, shekol nachash mina nechashim ha'asurim, any forbidden type of omen, shalo yismoch alav, that you should not rely on them, kemosha hayu elu samchim bedavar hamutar. In other words, if you have an omen, a sign that doesn't make sense, that's usur, it's only usur if you relied on it, like Eliezer, Eved Avram, and Yonasan and Ben Shaul relied on their signs. Of course, their signs were mutter, that's why they relied on it. That's what the Gemara means to say. In other words, the point is you can't rely on omens. If the test you're doing is a logical omen, not really an omen at all, just a logical test, then you can rely on it. If it's something that makes no sense, like dropping bread from your mouth, so then you can't rely on it, but you're allowed to notice it. You just can't change decisions based on it or think that that's the end all for everything. So again, when Rav would check the boats coming in, he wasn't making decisions based on that. He was just noting that that's not a good sign. And, but not that he thought it was the end, because Hashem can do whatever he wants and Hashem can change anything. And he didn't make a decision based on that. The only time Nichush is forbidden, according to the Ran, is if you make a decision based on this omen that is not logical. Okay, we'll stop here.